This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Kevin Lytle joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline. Kevin, of course, with the Coloradoan, our CSU Rams insider. Also, if you want to know anything World Cup, Kevin's got you covered there too, man. Kevin, I'm all in, bro. I'm all in. Every game is more exciting than the last. I don't know how much of a fan I'll be after the World Cup, but maybe when you're talking soccer with me when we do Rams Weekly, I might chime in a little bit.
Yeah, hey, we've got you. Love it.
It's fun, man. It's good. Go Team USA. What a game last night. Kevin, couple of big statements this week that we caught, and you had a conversation with John Weber. I want to get to that, too. Him saying, we are a power school. It's what we are. That has certainly a debate going on right now. I always love it. But one of Colorado State's favorite sons, Trey McBride, kind of goes on Bussin' with the Boys podcast. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just saw the clip. And I think people like us, people that follow CSU go, okay, that was with the old regime, whatever. But unfortunately, I think that hurts CSU a little bit nationally. Who knows how long that stands. But how did you feel about Trey McBride kind of in a fun way, sort of putting CSU on blast, talking about his trophy, his tight end trophy he won a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting and random. Obviously, that's what, four or five years old now.
Right.
That he won that, not the clip. I don't know, kind of a few different ways. Like, one, it's ludicrous, frankly, for me in the first place, that you have to pay, the school has to pay to have a trophy. Like, if a guy wins it, why does the school not also get one? That seems weird to me. Two, it's not a great look to kind of ask him to, you know, either for his trophy or maybe for some money to help with it. Three, I don't know, mildly petty from Trey McBride to kind of make a punchline when, you know, certainly things weren't always great at CSU, but he also became a first-round pick at CSU.
Yeah.
And, you know, is now a star, or second-round pick, I guess, is now a star. So all of it, just kind of weird. So, you know, silly, I guess, is my main thing. Like, I don't think it matters, really. All the people you know, that maybe were involved in that conversation are gone. So, you know, it's one of those, I think, yeah, you know, it makes for some easy teasing from, you know, non-CSU fans for a couple of days, and everyone will forget it. It'll randomly pop up, you know, probably once during the year, you know, when people want to make fun, but just kind of a weird thing, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, there's going to be those that hate CSU, that anytime a Rams player wins an award, that's going to be a thing. But not, you know, it's not something that's devastating, but... And one thing you said, I didn't even think about this, is it is odd. If the player wins it, he should get a trophy. The school mm-hmm. should also get that trophy. I agree with you, actually. I didn't think about this yesterday. I don't think anyone should be paying for that trophy. If you win it, you should get two, one to display. And so, Kevin, you know this. Is there a replica trophy in the trophy case at CSU?
Yep. Okay. Yep, there is. So one way or another, I figured out. I do remember at the time, you know, hearing from folks at CSU, kind of that of like, wow, like how absurd is it that we have to pay this much money for a replica, you know, that obviously, yeah, Trey McBride won it, but obviously, you know, it's in some ways a school award. So obviously, I don't know how to be honest, but they figured out the money. So yeah, there is a replica, and that's the way it should be too. It would be, honestly, I think that'd be worse if there was nothing on display, but it's there. So, all's well, and you know, I think it's probably also worth noting Trey McBride was on campus in spring ball. He was out of practice talking to Jim Moore. It's not like, you know, he's blocked CSU or anything like that. So it doesn't appear there's that, you know, a relationship problem. It's just a weird thing that happened. You know,
yeah.
that was a weird year too. I mean, he won that war despite being on a horrendous Steve Adazio team.
Well, so, and
just all, everything around it, kind of weird.
And Kevin, we could, I mean, you've been around and closer to this program and studied the history of this program a lot more than I have. But that was kind of one of the darkest times in CSU history, even though Trey McBride is doing Trey McBride things. But that was a really difficult time, the during and the fallout after the Adazio era.
Yeah, definitely. That was, yeah, not a good time for Colorado State football. Him and his play was kind of the one bright spot for really several years there. So it's kind of funny how it all ends up. But that was like the one positive CSU could throw out all year long, and they certainly did. And they promoted him. I mean, I think it's fair to say Trey McBride obviously is awesome, but CSU's PR team did some pretty incredible work to sway some voters, because it's, we know how these awards go. They tend to go to winners. So to convince voters he was the best despite being on a G5 team that lost a bunch of games, CSU did some pretty phenomenal PR work on that.
Yeah.
It was actually interesting watching, and they create a lot of stats. I know Kyle Neves, you know, formerly in that department, did a lot of work on that. Of, you know, all these other contenders are basically receivers. They just line up on the outside and run routes. Trey McBride, you know, I don't know the percentages and numbers now off the top of my head, but he was a true inline tight end. He would block, he would do all that. And they made a really serious push to make sure to educate voters that he was, you know, kind of a true tight end, not just a receiver. So all of that was very, very interesting.
Yeah, I was. There was that part of my brain, too, that was kind of bummed that, you know, I'm not saying Trey shouldn't, you know, tell stories and talk about his stuff. That's his thing. But
yeah.
It kind of felt like a little jab, you know, like, man, you're CSU's receiving strays out of nowhere for, I mean, I guess somewhat of a small reason, but it was not a great look. Like you said, it'll probably fade away. But I'll never forget, Kevin, talking to Trey years ago, and I'm interviewing him, asking him, like, what's your favorite thing, man? Is it catching a touchdown pass? Is it going over the middle? Is it blocking a guy? And he's like, dude, my favorite thing, I just, when I see a guy lined up and I'm in blocking mode, is to drive that person across the field. And, like, that was it. It was blocking, is what he said.
Yeah, he absolutely had that kind of FU mindset,
yeah.
Especially when it came to, yeah, head-to-head competition like that.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And, all right, you even noted this. You said it's not quite the Cignetti, you know, I win, Google me quote, but John Weber throwing down his own kind of microphone saying, we are a power school, it's what we are, in your conversation with him. First off, I want him to believe that because I want to believe that. How did you view that?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly, that is what struck me the most. Not so much the statement itself, because people in, you know, leadership positions are supposed to pump up, you know, their place. That makes sense. But it was just in such stark contrast. I don't always want to make it a, you know, Weber versus Parker thing, but how many times did we hear Joe Parker say, you know, kind of like I wrote, not the literal words, but the message he sent was sort of a, well, what can you do? You know, we're CSU, what can you do? And it was really deflating the fans. And he said it a lot in a lot of different venues, and it frustrated a lot of people. So for John to so strongly, you know, kind of talk up CSU, I thought was significant. I mean, he, you know, we were obviously on the record. He knew that anything he would say, you know, could or would be, you know, shared publicly. So it's not like, you know, a surprise or anything. He's not shy to share his belief in CSU. And, you know, he kind of said, you know, look at everything, you know, beyond just athletics, you know, enrollment, alumni, R1 research, you know, academic standing, all that. He said, if you compare us to everyone in the Big 12, we're right in the middle of all that. And that's always been the case in a lot of ways from the kind of school program side. But, yeah, just saying it publicly, I think, doesn't mean anything. You know, the Big 12 doesn't see that and go, oh, well, golly,
yeah,
we better add them in right now. But I think it is a message to the fan base of, hey, we have ambition. We believe in ourselves. And you know, for a long time, CSU didn't act like that.
I think it's great, and I know you're getting it on your comment stuff. People are like, "Oh, what? This is delusion." I don't want him to ho hum. I don't want him. I don't want you to get into a conversation with him, and when that comes up, I don't want him to say, Well, maybe we are. No, I want you to believe that because I know it sounds cliche, but the first step is believing. If you don't think that you could ever get to that point, then you would have never put that stadium out there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, of course, when I share that, we all know how social media is. Obviously, it was a given that Wyoming fans would jump in and go, excuse me, oh my gosh, what a joke. But broadly, like you say, for any, whether it's your, the school you support, a pro team you support, do you ever want leadership to say, we probably just can't really do any better than this. This is probably it. Like, you want ambition. So I think, I don't think there's any CSU fan that would see that and be, bummed or frustrated or anything. Like, I think, and that's, I don't think John Weber really cares what Wyoming fans on Twitter say about his statement. So if you're a CSU fan, I think it's a nice breath of fresh air to publicly speak of ambition, because Joe Parker, I mean, he tried and wanted to do something. It's not like he had no ambition, but man, the public message was sure never one of ambition.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about what Trey McBride getting on a podcast can do, like, for public consumption there. And when your athletic director might have all those ambitions but doesn't really air it out like that, it does leave us kind of wondering, what are your goals? How big can this thing get? So I thought it was refreshing, honestly.
Yeah, no, I think so. And, there are some fair points and some question marks. Like, overall athletics for CSU are going pretty well. Both basketball programs have been good. Volleyball tends to be good. Track, obviously, is a powerhouse. So all that's true. Attendance numbers have been good. That's true. Like I wrote, the big but is football, and they know that. They're aware of that. They kind of likewise haven't been shy about saying we need to get football going from the CSU perspective. And so you can see, if you're them, if you get football going, and there's reason to believe Jim Mora would do that, that overall the program's in a pretty good spot. So you can understand why they might be kind of bullish. And obviously, this is all happening as they move into the Pac-12. So what better time to, kind of try and flex than when you're getting a fresh start?
I'm excited for it. I was talking about this yesterday. Even if CSU was not involved, this reemergence of the Pac-12 is very interesting to me, even without CSU. But of course, having Colorado State involved, this is going to be a fascinating story, Kevin, one way or the other. And of course, I'm sure we're all rooting for this to work out. So this first season with the new Pac-12 is going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's really intriguing. Like you say, just as a sports fan, it's a very fascinating watch, because it's an old league in name. Obviously, the name is historic, but it's new, and obviously a lot of the membership and what they're doing, and they're operating in some ways pretty differently than a lot of leagues, and it's pretty fascinating to see if they're, are they going to be on the right trend of the curve? Are they ahead of things? We'll see. It's fascinating.
All right, Kevin, appreciate you, man. Hey, we'll let you get back at it. I know you got football to watch, and I think I'll be joining you later this afternoon.
Absolutely. It makes for a great summer day.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and he says, I think it's a message to the fan base that we should have big ambitions. That's Kevin Lytle discussing John Weber saying, we are a power school. It's what we are. 11:50 the time. We'll take a quick break, wrap up hour number one. Top stories of the day coming up. More on the LeBron James saga. It's around Denver. Maybe get used to it. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Did you know you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime? Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and the whole show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.